Hallelujah. Presence of the Lord is here. If you open your heart, you will feel it. Speaking to some people here today. I'm kind of sad, but at the same time, I'm kind of happy. I'm happy because the coming of the Lord is very soon. I'm sad because so many are not going to make it. I have a word for you today. If you could stand for the reading of God's word. Taken from Psalms 51 and verse 7. This is a famous psalm of David. When he had been confronted with his sin by the prophet Nathan. Difference between David and Saul was when confronted, one humbled themselves. And I'm not going to read it from the beginning, but I just want to start from verse 7. It says, "Purge me with hyssop. And I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." The verse I want to focus on is verse 10. Create in me a clean heart. And that word clean in the Hebrew can be translated pure. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Hallelujah. And if the title of this message is heart trouble, heart trouble. You could bow your heads with me. Father, we ask right now, Lord Jesus, that you just fill this atmosphere with your presence. Lord, that the words that I speak be your words, hallelujah, that it will minister, that it will encourage, that it will bless, that it will uplift. We thank you right now in Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and tell him God heals heart trouble. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. There's an awesome presence of the Lord in this service today. There is an awesome presence of the Lord in this service today. Heart disease. You know, they say that it is the leading cause of death for men and women. They say about 647,000 Americans die each year from heart disease. That's one in every four deaths is due to heart disease. And it costs billions $219 billion from 2014 to 2015. So heart disease is a very serious thing. I remember when I was in high school, my teacher, my biology teacher, we were talking about the heart. And they said that the heart muscle is very different from any other muscle in the Bible. He was telling me all about how that muscle is so different from every other muscle in the Bible. The teacher went on to tell me that they have theorized that if the rest of your body was made of heart muscle, instead of being able to run the 100 meters in 9 point something, you'd be able to do it in 6. You'd be able to leap 7, 8, 10, 15 feet if the rest of your body was of the same kind of muscle as your heart muscle. And when you think about it, it doesn't rest. If you're still alive and breathing, it hasn't stopped for more than a couple seconds normally. If you're over 50, just think about that. There's 84,600 seconds in a day, and your heart's been pumping away from the time you were born. But there is things that can happen to the heart that even the doctors can't see and can't fix. David had gotten his heart corrupted. He had allowed some infection to get into his spiritual heart. And because of that, he had gone astray. And he needed to have some heart surgery. He needed to have something fixed because he had ended up with a heart condition. And sometimes we don't even realize it. It can just creep upon you. The most amazing things is when you hear of some 36 or 37-year-old person that dies of a heart attack. They didn't even know that they had this condition. But your heart is where the Bible says all your desires emanate from, where your thoughts, your emotions emanate from. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, it says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." See, what's in here tends to come out what's here. And I looked at the scripture where Jesus came across Nathanael. And I was comparing myself to Nathanael because now I'm kind of old. I've gotten so cynical. You know, as you age, your heart can become hardened. It's not as soft as when you were young. And I have to really think sometimes about my heart and how I look at certain people. Yesterday, I was in a meeting, and there was a certain individual there, and they came and sat down beside me, and they started to tell me something surprising because I had a certain conception of who this person was and how they were. And I was just so surprised as they started to tell me about some things they had been going through. And, you know, my heart to them was a certain way because I thought they were like this, but they weren't like that. I had had a hardened heart towards them. And at the end, when we prayed for each other, I really, this time, prayed for that person because I saw them differently. Jesus, when he came across Nathanael, he described him as a man who has no guile. It means whatever he spoke, that's exactly what he thought. He wasn't putting on a face. He wasn't trying to deceive you. That's what you know, they say what you find is, what you see is what you get. You see, he was a man with no guile. He didn't have any hidden motives. And I said to myself, Lord, I wish I could be like that. I want to have a pure heart. You know why? Because if you don't have a pure heart, the Bible says you won't see God. In the Beatitudes, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart." Why? You're not going to see God unless you deal with your heart trouble. Unless you're prepared to understand that heart disease will kill you. Spiritual heart disease kills even faster. because it doesn't show on the outside necessarily until it's too late. Just look at Satan, because you see, heart disease, spiritual heart disease, will corrupt your thinking. You won't even be able to see things the right way. See, Satan can't even see that he's going to lose. Amen. His thinking is so corrupted, he can't see what's really going on. And when we get that way, we don't see ourselves. We don't really understand that the devil has somehow given us some heart trouble. And I'm speaking to me. See, sin corrupts our vision. This whole month and this year, we've been talking about seeing clearly. And in our first month, we talked about the greatest thing to see is ourselves. Because if you don't understand that you have a problem, you can't deal with it. You can't deal with it. Sometimes we don't want to go to the doctor. We suspect something's wrong, but we don't want to go because then we'll have to deal with it. But I'm telling you today, you're in the right spiritual hospital to deal with the heart trouble. And you cannot keep that heart trouble to yourself. God has got a solution. He's got an answer. He has got a healing balm. He has got deliverance. See, we got to make sure we don't have a heart condition. See, a truly corrupt heart will call good evil and evil good. We see that going on all around us in the news today. An unclean heart will not want to see truth. Not want to see the truth because it has a conception of how things should be. A corrupt heart actually has some side effects. It's where pride comes from. See, when we get lifted up in our heart, the Bible speaks about being lifted up in pride. Amen. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 speaks about that. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things. You can think you're in love. You can think, oh man, if I just got that thing, I'd be happy. Funnily enough, when you get it, somehow it doesn't make you happy. You know why? Jeremiah 17, 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. The greatest lie is when you lie to yourself. Think about that. When you say, it's all right, I got this. It's all taken care of. The heart is deceitful above all things, and it's desperately wicked. Unless you are willing to come to God with a broken and a contrite heart, you're going to end up with heart trouble. Now, they don't write it on the death certificate. But most people actually, when they do go, it is the heart that stops. What's the first thing they do to test if someone's alive? They listen for the heartbeat. Some Christians have not understood that their heartbeat is going down. The blood pressure is falling and they've got some heart trouble. And this is a very bad time to have heart trouble. This is a very bad time to have heart trouble. The Lord search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doing. I said a few weeks ago that I quoted from Galatians. The Bible says that God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. You know, if the wages of sin were paid quickly, a lot of people would be in trouble. But don't be fooled. The Bible says in Malachi that God has got a book and he's writing it everything down. You see, we need to deal with the heart trouble. Jeremiah is telling us that the heart is deceitful. Right now, I'm sure a lot of people are saying, well, he's talking about him. He's talking about her. Me, no, I have no heart trouble. I'm fine. I'm talking about me. God showed me yesterday that I had a bad conception towards this person. And when I prayed for him, God did something to my heart. Because I saw how he had needs. And God sat him next to me and he opened up and told me some things and it just changed my vision of this person. See, we need to understand that until we bring our heart to God, we all have heart trouble. See, you look with your natural eyes where you're going. If you don't look with your natural eyes, if you're walking this way and looking that way, you know what's going to happen? You're going to run into something. Well, what I'm trying to tell you is your heart is your spiritual eyes. and your heart directs where you're going. But if you're not looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, you're going to run into something. One of the greatest symptoms and one of the greatest problems with our spiritual heart, the Bible says, is hardening of the heart. It makes it deadly where you can sit in a service, there can be worship, there can be tears, there can be a move of the Spirit, and you don't feel a thing. Leprosy by itself is not the danger, but leprosy kills the feeling. So what happens is that people will put their hand on burning stuff and not feel a thing. Leprosy is not what disfigures the body. It's the result of loss of feeling. The same thing happens when we have a hard heart. When we have a hard heart, no matter the preaching, no matter the word, no matter the praying, nothing reaches us. That is so dangerous. That is so deadly. And I'm trying to tell you today, God has got an answer to that. He says, a broken and a contrite heart I will in no wise despise. David understood the key to fixing heart problems. You have to give it to Dr. Jesus. Let me tell you about someone in the Bible. Exodus chapter 8, verse 32. You see, the Bible says, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. He hardened his heart because he wanted to disobey what he had been told God's plan was. When we don't want to obey what God has for us, you know what we do? We harden our heart. I'm not listening. Speak to the hand. We don't want to hear the truth because then we might have to do something about it. The Bible says he hardened his heart. And you know how that story ended. He kept on hardening his heart until God said, okay, I'm going to harden your heart as well. And he ended up with his big army drowned in the Red Sea. I'm talking about heart trouble today. You cannot live with a diseased heart very long. You know what happens? They call you in and they find that there's a blockage. The blood, the oxygen, the word isn't getting through. And you know what they have to do? Heart surgery. They immediately call you in and they put stents in there. They start to open up the arteries so that there can be some blood flow through. You need to open up the arteries and let the blood of Jesus touch you today. Let the word find some good soil today. Don't sit there and let your heart get hardened. See, spiritual heart trouble can have a root in fear. We're afraid of doing what's right. In Romans chapter 10, verse 10, it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's time for us to have a heart transplant. If your heart is so hardened, you need to come down to this altar today and say, Lord, I need a heart transplant. Open up, do some work on me today. You're in the spiritual hospital today. You're in the place where God is able to deliver, to save, to bring back to life, to put some defibrillators on your chest and shock you back to life. Because I'm telling you, the hospital won't be open forever. What I see going on in the world today scares me. Because for sure, we're not very far away from the coming of the Lord. What it inspires me to do as pastor is to tell you that I have to cry aloud and say, behold, the bridegroom cometh. If you've been just sitting there waiting for something to happen, today is the day. Now is the time to repent and bring to God your heart problem. There's coming a time when this church will probably be full, but I hope I won't be here. I hope I won't be here. I've been a child. I've been waiting for this to happen. And I believe I'm going to live to see it happen. At his first coming, Simeon had been going to the temple. He was 80 years old. Waiting for the first coming. One day he went to the temple. Now he may have had some heart trouble. He was 80 years old, but God just kept on fixing that heart. Simeon, you're not going to depart until you see my Messiah. You see, you can have physically a bad heart, That's not as important as having a spiritual heart that is right with God and ready to go. I said in the Sunday school class, I think it was yesterday or Friday, one of the richest women in America died. Her billions did nothing for her. They couldn't save her life. I'm sure when they put down on her death certificate, failed heart. I don't want on my death certificate anything like that, because you know what? The Bible says if you are in Christ, you're not going to die. You're going to be changed. In the twinkling of an eye, the trump shall sound, hallelujah, and the dead in Christ shall rise again. You see, the only way you're going to get to be in that thing is you're going to have a pure heart. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, it said, blessed are the pure in heart. Why? For they shall see God. That is the criteria. If you have heart troubles, you're not going to see God. You need to have God do an operation on you. He needs to do some cleaning out. He needs to do some purification. He needs to have your heart sprinkled, the Bible says in Hebrews, from a guilty conscience. Heart trouble will kill you. 1 John 3:20 says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. You can fool me. That's easy. Because I don't really look at people. If I shut my eyes, I couldn't tell what any of you are wearing. Because I'm not here to look at you. The only person I'm here to look at is God. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence with God. I'm telling you, church, it's time to take your heart condition to Dr. Jesus. Because he can treat all the symptoms, whether it's hardening, whether it's a blood clot, whether it's a murmur. You know, when I was 20, the doctors diagnosed that I had what they call an atrial fibrillation. I had a heart condition. I still have a heart condition. But that was, 40 years ago? You know why? Dr. Jesus overrode them. And said, he shall not die. He shall live and declare my glory. Declare my praises. I cannot die until Dr. Jesus says so. When I went to the doctor, this heart surgeon, when he was done running all his tests, and I was kind of nervous. I said, so how bad is it? He pulled no punches. He told me, you can die right now. No, you don't understand what God has done for me. When I truly say I could be dead, I'm not just saying that. I actually have some miswiring around my heart. That is, I don't know what you want to call it, a mutation, whatever you want to call it. He told me, yes, you can die at any time from that. That was 40 years ago. Because that is only the physical heart problem. And he couldn't fix it. But I took the spiritual heart to the one who made my heart. And he said, you shall live and not die. You shall live and not die. I'm saying it one more time. You shall live and not die. See, when you have heart trouble, the surgeons down here, they can do all kinds of temporary things. The one thing they cannot do is make a new heart. They can give you all kinds of other transplants and tissue growth, but for some reason, they have not been able to make an artificial heart that works. I think Jesus kind of reserved that one for himself. He reserved that one for himself. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. Now, how can I get that heart surgeon to work upon me? Amen. You know, when you go to the doctor, there's usually a waiting list. They say if it's elective, you're going to be put down on a waiting list. But I'm telling you right now, right here today, there is no waiting. All you have to do is bring a broken and a contrite heart. He will fix it. Amen. He will fix it. You see, the first time hearts are mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 5. And it was to do with what I'm talking about. Heart problem. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. That was when God diagnosed that the whole human race actually has a heart problem. But when Noah came out of the ark, you know what he did? He gave God an offering. He gave God a sacrifice, and God said, you know what? I'm going to have to fix this heart problem. I'm going to have to make provision to fix man's heart problem. So 4,000 years later, there came an angel and declared, glory to God, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Because this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Dr. Jesus had come to fix the earth's heart problem. If you could stand with me, I told you I wouldn't be long. The world is in trouble. They just don't know it. Underneath all of this impeachment stuff that's been in the news, I don't know if you've been noticing what I've been posting. There has been more earthquakes in the last 2 weeks than there has been in years before. Everybody sees the viruses and all of that that are jumping from, of all things, a snake. That's where it came from. The snake. Coronavirus, they say, came from snakes. If that isn't a hint, if that isn't a clue, if that isn't telling you, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Peter says, they're going to say, from the time my granddaddy was going to church, you people been saying he's coming. I've been hearing that since I was born, he's coming. And it hasn't happened yet. Let me tell you this, not one prophecy has ever failed. Though it tarry, wait for it, the vision. It shall come to pass. God said he has sworn. He has sworn. God didn't have to swear, but just to tell you how certain, he said he has sworn in his wrath. Some people are not going to enter into his rest because they refuse to have the heart condition treated. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. David had done some terrible things. Terrible things. He had had someone put to death. And yet, even in the Old Testament, because David brought a broken and a contrite heart to the heart maker, to the heart fixer, to the lawgiver, God forgave him. That's amazing. Someone at the meeting said, repentance is not tears. That's not true repentance. Because Esau, the Bible said, cried. He cried, but he was more mad crying. He got cheated. He was so mad. And he wanted God to have, it wasn't real repentance. No doubt he cried bitterly. But that's not repentance, because people cry all the time. Repentance is truly turning and saying, God, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't fix this. You know, you can operate on a lot of things yourself. You can cut your nails, dye your hair, trim your toenails, whatever. But I have yet to see the person who can take the scalpel and operate on his heart. That's a plan doomed to failure. Only one person can fix your heart. No matter what you have done, if you will be like David and say, create in me a clean heart, a pure heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Lord, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Take away all my cynical ways, my horrible thoughts, my mean disposition, my way I look at other people, my hatefulness. Replace it, Lord, with your love, with your grace. This world has got some serious heart trouble. In fact, the Bible goes on to say it's so serious that men's hearts will be failing them for fear of the things. Come out Tuesday night, I'll be telling you about some things. America has just outfitted some of their nuclear submarines with a new kind of nuclear weapon. Now, this kind of nuclear weapon is what's known as a low-yield nuclear weapon, because the high-yield ones are too bad to use. You know what this means? Is there is potential now for them to use it. That's the reason why they did it. Now, you won't maybe notice all of these things in the news, but I watch all of these things. We are on the verge. And it's my responsibility. To warn you. Because I believe it. We need a heart transplant. We need to seek God while he may be found. I'm being as honest as I can be when I say I'm scared. On the other hand, I'm also happy because I want out of here. The world's heart condition is serious. And it's prophesied that men's hearts will be failing them for fear of the things that will be coming upon the earth. It was an earthquake just out off of Jamaica. Hadn't heard of that for a long, long time. Earthquake in Turkey, Russia. This week, President Trump announced his peace plan for Israel. Now, there have been peace plans before. The difference with this one is he drew a map, giving back Israel all of their territory. But even that wasn't so surprising. What was surprising to me was that the significant Arab countries are agreeing to it. When I say we're on the verge, we are on the verge. We need to make sure that today we give God a sacrifice of a broken and a contrite heart. Because that's the one thing it says he will not despise. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just doing my job. I'm just doing my job. Someone has to cry out, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Someone has to say, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Someone has to start trying to wake people up. Of course, some people are just pretending to sleep. Some people are just pretending to sleep. They don't want to be woken up. And as I said, you can't wake up someone who's pretending to be asleep. But it's my job anyway to cry aloud and say, repent. be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I don't know how long we have. Could be weeks, months, days, maybe one or two years, who knows? But I don't think I'm going to die, if that's what you're asking. And before that happens, things are going to get a lot worse. A lot worse. A lot worse. Things that people think could not happen in this country are going to happen in this country. Things that you hear about in other countries that you think, oh, it's thousands of miles away, this is America, is going to happen here. It's going to happen here. So, the Bible says if you can't walk now, how are you going to run with the chariots? If you can't serve God now when it's not yet like that, how are you going to do it when there's going to be pressure to conform? See, all of these things have been started a long time ago, and they're all now coming to a conclusion. This October, you won't be able to travel unless you have a real ID. Unless you have a real ID, whatever that is, you won't be able to travel. I'm not going to go into all of it today, but I just want to let you know we are on the verge. You've been fooling around. Okay, keep on fooling around. Let that heart condition keep going. But today, now you have a chance to say, God, I give you my heart. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Do you understand? Genesis 6:5 is the chapter where the flood comes. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Jesus said in Matthew 24, as in the days of Noah. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart. And it repented God that he had created man upon the earth. But Noah found grace. Today, you can find grace. Hallelujah. I'm trying to close. I'm going to close. And I don't mean this to be a downer service. I'm trying to get you to be encouraged, to be more determined, to say, I will make it. I am not going to be lost. I am going to be the one who marches in. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. If you could put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you and pray for them. Ask God to do a heart transplant. Ask God to give us new vision, new depth, new zeal as we see the day approaching, to be witnesses, to get desperate, to mean this more than ever. Lord, we just thank you right now. Lord, we ask you to give us a heart transplant. Lord, we ask you, oh God, Lord, as we see the day approaching, oh God, that we come closer to you, that nothing is before you, that we put you first, Lord God. Lord, we ask right now, Jesus, that we repent. Lord, we ask you to forgive us, to change us, to renew us, to remake us. Lord God, we humble ourselves before you today. And we thank you right now for victory over the enemy, over his devices. We thank you for healing, Lord God. We thank you for washing us. We thank you for making us ready. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you for the ark of safety. We thank you, Lord, for your deliverance. We thank you for victory today, Lord God, that you are coming back for a church. Hallelujah. And we are your bride. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. Hallelujah. We lift up your name right now. And we thank you for all that you are doing in our lives. And we claim victory. Hallelujah. Come on, church, let's just pray for a little bit. Let's give God a broken and a contrite heart. Let's ask him to do some surgery today upon our heart to turn us around. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Just cry out aloud right now. Come on, open up your heart right now to Jesus. Let him come in. Do not harden your heart today, but say, Lord, you come in, Lord God. You move in my life. You take control. You direct my thoughts, oh God. Hallelujah. I'm not praying for you. You pray for yourself today. You call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Jesus, we thank you today for your glory and your grace and your mercy. Lord, we thank you, Lord God. We worship you. We lift up our hands right now, Jesus. And we ask you, oh God, for your covering. Lord, we ask you to surround us with your Holy Spirit. Direct our path, oh God. Help us to be witnesses. Oh God, right where we are, to be witnesses, to let people know of your coming. Lord God, that you are a healer and a deliverer. Hallelujah. We thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. We thank you that you're going to use us, that we're going to win souls to your kingdom. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you for healing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to close with this benediction, which over the years always gave me hope. And it's in the book of Jude, verse 24. And it should comfort you and give you hope. And it says, now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be both majesty, dominion, power and glory, now and forever. Let everyone say, amen. Amen.